All right, so Brenda was on to something. This works out because I don't actually have a long message today, right? Brenda came up and said something like she wanted to hear some quote-unquote testimony. Testimony is when a battle's behind you, you just talk about it. We do that all the time through life. It's okay, sister. You can get through it. I've been through this, this, this. And it strengthens the person, right? Well, guys, it's no different spiritually. Brenda could have sat up here and said, watch, I'm going to impersonate Brenda for a second. I won't impersonate her voice because you know how I do that and it sounds...
When was it? In December, somebody said to Brenda, you've got cancer and you're going to have to... October, and you're going to have to go through chemotherapy. And so one day she appeared on the prayer list. But guys, God was faithful and he walked me through it and his grace was enough. And here I am today leading you guys in prayer. You feel it, don't you? That's called a testimony. That's power. That's in the rearview mirror of my life.
God was faithful. So what you're facing today, take that in and let it strengthen you. So from now on, I would like the prayer request to be prayer request and praise report. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's get some goods in there with the needs. Because we're going to look at something today. I don't think God's people... All right. Whether we believe this or not, the reality of it all is... And just hinge on me. Work through your own stuff. I'm not here to sell you on anything. I'll tell you my story. At 17 years old, I decided that this was not an accident. I decided that deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA, is information. Information can only come from... intelligence. And so human beings have information. Everything around us has information. What gave it information? A big cosmic accident created information? Let me get scientific for a second. Every day when you open a jar of peanut butter, you're betting against that. There's protein and there's something else in it that science will teach you is life. Well, where's the information? If there were information, just spontaneous, you'd always have mold in your peanut butter. There'd be life inside your sealed jar of peanut butter. You need information for life. So when I was 17 years old, I realized self-replicating DNA, where did this come from? And I looked up and said, there must be an intelligent designer for all this information. And then I held my son for the first time. He's the first baby I ever held. Weird, right? We didn't have any babies in our family. I held my son and went, cosmic accident? And then I felt the love I had for my son and went, whoa, cosmic accident? I'm willing to die and kill anybody in this room for this little baby right now? No, I see life. I see something more. I see something greater, right? This is kind of where I arrived to. Now, if that's the case, I have a point, I promise. I know I babble a little bit, and I appreciate your patience. If that's the case, Creator God spun up time. That's our fourth dimension, right? Spun up time, is in control of it all. And then he says, those who choose to believe that I am who I say I am, Lord Jesus, I give them the right to become sons and daughters of Creator God. Well, I don't think Creator God would want his kids walking around defeated all day and downtrodden and victims all the time. Anybody following me on this one? Because I'll tell you what, I hit the heavy bag. I lift weights. I train at the gun range. I do all this sort of stuff. I don't want my kid walking around like some wimp getting beat up by life every second of every day. Daddy has the power to teach you ways to overcome that stuff. I'm trying to get him to start hitting the bag right now, actually, because he's really, I don't want to say he's not coordinated. I don't want to put that on him. He's careless. He's rubber legs. This is him standing there. And then he falls down and he wonders. He's shocked. I'm like, well, don't tangle your legs up and then try to run. You know this, right? His sister's a year and a half, not even, and she's more coordinated than this kid. I'm starting to see it. I don't like it very much. My point is, I don't think the Father God wants us walking around beat up, downtrodden all the time. Last week, NorwoodFMC.com, click, podcast, click, 5 years of sermons for free. Do you know what? People used to make a lot of money on sermons. We get them out there for free. In fact, we pay so that you can have those sermons. Well, last week we talked about control, and it was big. I don't want to recap. But if this whole thing's real, and there's a Creator God, which beyond the shadow of a doubt in my life, he's proven that to me time and again. If I'm his son, I wonder who should steer my life. The one who can see all the things coming, the one who knows all the details, or little, can I say butthead? Are there any kids in here? Or little butthead up here who thinks he knows best yet always falls short. Who do you think should steer my life? I'm gonna go with that one. And so last week we talked about we struggle for control. I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. And God's calling us to surrender control to him. I don't want to recap. It was a powerful message in my opinion. I'm still chewing on it. Go listen to the podcast. But I'm going to do something weird today. I'm going to talk about what you might think is something that is not just the opposite, but something that might rub against that. And I'm going to prove to you today that faith is not just a church. It's not just a tradition. It's not just a set of rules. It's not. Your faith is very much your own journey of walking out balance. Jesus' best friend John said, Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth. Grace is forgiveness and giving you what you don't even deserve and sparing from you what you do deserve. But truth is, there are certain things that just are true whether you like it or not. You are not God. Faith is that journey of walking out the balance. So today we're going to talk about the opposite of control. If you're someone who struggles and feels uncomfortable with, you know, when they're out of control and controls the people around you, yet struggles to control themselves, last week. This week, something different. We're going to talk about David, King David. We're going to look at one little thing in his life. I promise it's not going to be boring. We're going to get a lot out of this. Okay. David was special in the Old Testament, and here's why. David received the Holy Spirit. David received God himself born inside of him. How does that happen? No idea. Can't explain that to you. I have no idea. He was anointed with oil and the Holy Spirit came upon him. Do we know who else has the Holy Spirit in this room? Boom. Walt says he does. Those now, after Christ died and rose again, we're all agents of the Holy Spirit if we choose to. God comes to live inside of us. Let's look at the first slide, Corinthians, please. Don't you know, guys, that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? What's a temple? A place where people come in to worship the Lord God, right? God's supposed to be there. Where is God? God's not in this room. God's in the people in this room. He might show up, but the kingdom of God is within you, not within temples of wood and stone. We are the church. You're the church at home. You're the church on your front porch. You're the church in the woods. You're the church when you're riding your tractor, whatever you're doing. You're the church. Be freed of that. Be freed of that. You're with God at any time, because if you choose to say, Jesus, you are who you say you are, come into my life and be my Savior, God's Spirit lives in you. Maybe you don't believe me. Next slide, please. I got three of them for this one. To them God has chosen, that's everybody in this room because you're sitting here, by the way, to make known among the other non-believers the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. If it's Jesus' Spirit, guys, and this is something that, this might get a little heavy, the Holy Spirit is Christ's Spirit. So he just said, which is Christ in you. So Jesus is actually dwelling inside of me, speaking to me, guiding me, protecting me, going before me in all things. Or, but guys, I'm not very PC, and I'm not very passive. Just get used to that with me, okay? Or this is a lie. Either it's true or it is not. You decide. And I'm not here to sell you on anything today. But either Christ lives in the believer or he doesn't. Next slide. You know, that's the thing about our world. I'm not one that shoots against the world all the time. I know if this is your first impression of me. But this PC stuff is garbage. In a lot of ways, you got to just make a choice in life. I'm going to this, I'm going to that, here's who I am. Sitting on the fence accomplishes a whole bunch of nothing. That's how it comes down to. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that's the Holy Spirit, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Hold on, just a minute. Theology. If I, at 17 years old, said, Jesus, come into my life, just save me. I don't have it all figured out. I'm not even fully convinced you're real, but come into my life. And if the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of me, so if I've got God living inside of me, doesn't it make sense that I will go where God lives? That God will return to where God lives? Some of you have struggled with, am I going to go to heaven? Well, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, where does he live, Marie? He lives in heaven, so he's going to go home. But he's in you. Was he going to rip himself out of you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I hope not. It's impossible. It can't happen. It's grotesque, like alien or something, right? Well, that was bad. Sorry. But it's the Holy Spirit is the deposit that if you've got God inside of you, you're obviously going to go be with God, right? It's the deposit. Eternal life starts now. It's not something we wait for. So I just said David is not special. In this room, David is not special. Oh, David's there. I'm still trying to figure things out. No. Son of God, son or daughter of God. Holy Spirit inside of both of us. Can we get there? Okay. In case it's your first time here, I need some encouragement. It's more of a conversation than a dialogue, okay? Than a monologue. So, the Spirit is inside of us. He'll give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives inside of you. So if you ever doubt your eternal destination and you've chosen to make Jesus your Savior, it's bigger than you. We have these promises. Okay, we've got to get this. Can we fathom what that means? We'll come back to this, but let's keep going. Can we just pound through these next slides? I'm not going to do the whole story, but the giant, Goliath. Everybody knows David and Goliath. I'm not going to waste a lot of time today, okay? This day I defy the ranks of Israel, says Goliath. He's sitting in this valley. He says, give me one man and let us fight each other. Saul and all the Israelites, Saul is the king at the time. He hears this, and they were dismayed and terrified. Now, David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse. He was from Bethlehem in Judah. That's not ironic, by the way. There's something in that, Bethlehem. Anyway, Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. Next one, please. Thanks, David, for stepping up and trying this out. Never done it before. For 40 days, guys, this Philistine came forward every morning and every evening and took his stand. What David said was overheard. I'm just skipping through. And Saul sent for him. David basically says, what's this guy doing? Why doesn't somebody go knock him out? What are you guys doing standing here shaking? And he says, David says, let nobody lose heart on account of this dude. Your servant, me, I'll go fight him. And Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a little boy. And he's been a fighting man from his youth. Next slide, please. But David said to Saul, hey, I have been keeping my father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I chased it down. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I'd seize it by its hair and I'd strike it and I'd kill it. Next one. I have killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, which means has nothing to do with God, he's in another faith system, will be like one of them because he's defied the armies of the living God. Oh, dun dun dun. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Stop real quick. Doesn't that sound like a testimony? God was faithful back there. He's going to be faithful here. Brenda Stone went through this, right? That kind of thing. Bill and Donna. What I'm facing, I was talking about the power of the rearview mirror in your life. Remember back when you thought you were going to lose your mind and something held you together? Remember back when you thought things would never be good again? I've been there. And it gets you to the next battle, right? The rearview mirror is very important in the kingdom walk with God. So Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. I don't know. Do we have another one that doesn't say stop here? Okay, David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. Darn it. Because I'm not used to your armor, Saul. Saul tried to make him put his armor on. So he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand approached the Philistine. Now that should say stop here, right? Right underneath it, does it? Okay, we're going to stop there. So you all know what happens. He goes out, and he goes out, and he's got the it's a pouch with 2 things, right? Puts a stone in it. Let's go of one of them. And if you do any research, it's awesome. These guys were deadly accurate. I don't forget how many revolutions a minute or a second these guys would get. Long story short, he does pretty much the impossible. But let's get into the message because we're running out of time here. Something inside of David must have known something, right? Other men, warriors from the days of their youth, sat there and trembled. Sat and trembled. And yet David stood and took action. So what is it that this boy, who was probably about 16 or 17 at the time, maybe a little bit younger, what is it he knew? I'm going to propose today my opinion. Something inside of David knew that God was able to take down the impossible, to do the impossible. And again, the lion and the bear were in the rearview mirror, probably gave him hints as he grew. What was the voice of truth that David was hearing? I believe, like I said in the beginning, it was the Holy Spirit inside of him. And here's why this is important. As I made reference to before, we are David. These stories are not in the Bible. These historical stories are not in the Bible so that we can teach our kids while we're out here. David and Goliath and sing a silly song. I don't know the song about it, but right? These are not just stories. You're supposed to, I think, you're supposed to look at this and go, all right, so David has the Holy Spirit. That sets him aside. I have the Holy Spirit. There's a Goliath in my life that I'm facing. So what are my choices? I can sit and be afraid like the rest of the army, or look what this boy just did. Look what God just did through this boy. So wait, my Goliath, my giants in my life, can I draw parallels? Marie's getting it. You're starting to see. These aren't just stories, guys. We are David. Goliath is the obstacle you cannot overcome. That thing, and you all know what it is, it's coming to your mind. Anything that you fear, the sickness, the addiction, the thought pattern, the anxiety, the depression, whatever it may be, there are giants in our life that, time out, we must face. There are giants in our lives that we must face. And the question today I think God is asking us is, next slide, please. Are we going to do this? Next one, sorry. This is where he actually wins. Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. There's choice number one. You just saw it in the story. I just highlighted it. Are we going to sit there and be dismayed and terrified, or are we going to stand tall in the understanding that God himself lives inside of us and no weapon formed against us is allowed to prosper? I'm quoting scripture. I like to do that because what do I know, right? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, says God himself, creator God, who knows more than we do. Infertility was our Goliath. I'll tell you that right now. And it wasn't infertility. It was actually when we first tried to start a family, we got pregnant and lost the pregnancy. So I wouldn't say infertility at all. So you got to wait a certain amount of time. It broke our hearts, and it was one of the hardest things, top three hardest things I've been through. And then we get pregnant again with twins. But this time we had a heartbeat in one of them. And so we went to Burlington, and the woman's taking the sonogram, and I'm holding Melanie's hand because we were high risk because we had lost one. And the woman goes, I'm not getting a heartbeat. Is that what you expected today? No. I'll never forget that. That's a direct quote. And we went, no. And of course, Melanie just gritted her teeth. She's a very strong person. And I didn't trash the place or assault anyone, but I really wanted to, honestly. And we waited till she left, and we cried our eyes out. And that was our giant. Because we left from there. God was faithful. We didn't fall apart. The marriage got stronger, not weaker. Sometimes that can destroy a marriage. We went to Dr. Lazzardi, I think the best OB in the state, in fact. And he says, guys, two in a row, three technically, I'm going to put you in a term of high risk. I need you to go see a specialist. And I've told you all this before, but all of a sudden Goliath walks out and goes, you'll never have a family, you two. You've done everything right, right? But you'll never have a family. And I'll tell you what I wanted to do, just natural AJ. I wanted to sit and be dismayed and terrified. And I almost did. And I almost did, you guys. But something inside of me, you can guess who it was, straightened my backbone, put my shoulders back, stood up and said, no. Who dares defy God's plan and best for me and my wife? And what do I know, guys? I'm just some dude. I did not grow up in church. I'm not fully convinced about all these things all the time. But I'm telling you a story that happened in my life. And I stood up and said, forget this, man. Who's defying my family? And you know what I did? I went in the Bible and I said, what does God say, him, creator, son, what does he say about life and fertility and blessings? And I realized and wrote them down because I actually took a step. Life sometimes is about doing something, not just thinking things. And I printed out a long thing. And every night, for the most part, I missed one or two nights in 10 months. Every night, if she went to bed before me, I held her hand and I prayed these things over her. Father, you said there'll be no barrenness or miscarriage among you in the land. We are co-inheritors of the promises of Abraham. Father, we receive that today. That's me shouting back at Goliath. Oh, I hear you, dude, but you're full of crap. You're a liar. You're a liar because God says that trust in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. God put the desire in my heart. He's going to fulfill the desire of my heart. That's what I believe. And I stood there and I took the word of God and went, boom. And has anybody seen Alex walking around today, the 3.5-year-old? He came out and started dancing, not shy at all, right? New folks, not shy, comes walking right down your aisle. Hi, hi, hi. That's Hurricane Alex. He wasn't supposed to be here today. Goliath said he's not supposed to be here. Oh, and then little dainty Isabella is here too, 1.5 years. Both of them got 9s and 10s on the APGAR. That's when they're first born. That's the rating for how healthy they are. They are perfectly healthy. But my giants in my life told me, you can't have this. So today I'm asking you, what are your giants? What are the giants in your life that are screaming at you and telling you that you are not going to have the things that you know God wants you to have, that you're going to have less than God's best? I should have prepared this for you, buddy. Sorry. I want to show you something that's going to help you understand this. That's why that's screwed up. That's going to help you understand this. That's going to help us understand what David knew.
Zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giants called out my name and they laughed at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
I love how he even talks about David. Oh, what I would do to have the strength to stand before a giant with the sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. And again, but the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me. He reminds me of all the times I've tried before and failed. Boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. And that's our lives, isn't it, guys? Things chasing us down, things standing in our way. And I know that. I see that. It says, Jesus, you are the voice of truth. Truth is the Lord Jesus. The same power. We're going to have to skip ahead a little bit. I was going to talk about, you know what? You're just going to have to take my word for it. Watch this. Dave, can I take control just for a second? How many stones did he pull up, guys?
Five.
Five. Why? No, well, yes. Some people say brothers. Other people say two and two son. Five smooth stones, and I'll show you this. I went over to Chronicles, and there was a man with six fingers in each hand and six toes, 24 in all. He's descended from Rapha, which is where he was from. And then we see in another place, there were four descendants of Rapha in Gath, and they fell at the hands of David. Now, Rapha means they were Rephaims, giants. But anyway, so long story short, there's even one that says he was Goliath the Gittite. See? The brother of. He chose five stones because standing there with Goliath were four other giants. Boy, he really understood the voice of truth, didn't he? I just showed it to you. We don't have time. I'm sorry. It's jumping around in the Old Testament. Chronicles and 2 Samuel say there was this giant, that giant, this giant. And they were all from the same town. One of them says the three of them were brothers of Goliath, and one says it was Goliath's son. So there's five giants standing there. David takes five stones. That's how much he understood the power that lived inside of him and the Holy Spirit and what God was capable of. But I want to show you the power of the Holy Spirit and what God's capable of. We're back on track. I pray that you, this is the New Testament, after Christ dies, talking to you, I pray that you will understand, believe and understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. That's it. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor. Let's do this again. Understand the incredible power for us who believe in him. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. So Goliath stands there yelling at you, but if you understood what you had inside of you, it's not even a big deal, is it? Right? Come on, guys. The addiction, the living in poverty, whatever it may be, and I'm not talking about prosperity doctrine. I'm talking about get up and in mighty power, do what you can. Everybody else in our lives, guys, is sitting there trembling and too afraid. Too afraid to push forward and do what they know needs to be done. Whether it be leaving something behind or forging ahead. But the voice of truth says you have everything you need to overcome in this life. Everything you need. And God is not done growing you and helping you to become the person that you're meant to become, which is like Christ Jesus. But stand up. Face that giant, you guys, in God's strength. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. We're not meant to live defeated, downcast lives. We're more than conquerors. Let's look at Matthew, the next one. Matthew, first-hand account. Peter says to Jesus, he says, you're Christ, the one we've been waiting for thousands of years. You're Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter, for this wasn't revealed to you by men. National Geographic is not going to convince you that Jesus really is Messiah. We all know he existed. History doesn't argue that. He's as real as Oprah or Dr. Phil as far as genealogy. But was he Christ? Was he Mashiach that the Hebrews had waited for? Peter says, yes. And Jesus says, this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven spoke to the inner you and told you. And I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Let's stop at this. That sounds weird. Well, let's dig. That's why you have me up here, okay? This is interesting. This is the first instance that the word church is used in the New Testament. Did you know that? The word church is used by Jesus, comes from the Greek ekklesia, which means the called out ones, the assembly. Which, interesting, I didn't even think about it when I was writing it. But didn't he just say before in a slide, those whom I've called out? That's everybody sitting in this room, guys, because you're here and you're hearing this stuff. Honestly, you have to receive that. The called out ones. In other words, the church Jesus is referring is the assembly of people who've been called out of just the mundane world by what Jesus has done. And he says, on this rock of solid truth that I am Messiah, I'll build my called out ones, and the gates of hell or Hades will not overcome them. The gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not overcome the called out ones. And we are those ones, you guys. We are those ones. This is talking about death, saying that death itself has no victory over us. If you attend the funeral of someone who gave their life to Christ, it's commencement, it's graduation. It's just the same as birth. When you die, death is saying this. You want to go here, you can't stay there. Same with birth. I sat there and said, Alex, come on. I know you're there, but if you want to be here, you can't stay there. And death is calling AJ saying there'll be a time when if you want to come here, you can't stay there on earth. That's death for the believer, guys. I don't know any better way to tell you about that. Same thing. Death and life and birth are just opposite ends of the coin. But they're the same thing. They're vessels. God's agents of transport from there to here for the believer. That's what it is. So he's saying the gates of hell will not prevail against you. But I'm also telling you this. All that darkness in the world, All those things, like I said, the addiction, the pattern that mom gave you down your family tree, dad gave you down your family tree, and you wonder why I can't get out of this pattern, the gates of Hades will not overcome it. What's a gate, you guys? Because you just thought I said knife. The knife of Hades, sorry, but it's just a survival knife. The knife won't prevail against you. No, what's a gate? It's a defensive thing, right? I'll tell you a little bit about history. They had walled cities and gates, and the attacking army would start at the gate. And if the wall held, if the gate held, then this city probably won. But if it fell, the attacking army got in and probably won. The ones I've called out, the gates of all that darkness will not prevail if they'll storm the gate. Do you understand that? Nobody's walking around swinging a gate at you. The gates of hell, all that stuff that we need to overcome is trying to hold. You stand up and you take it. Do you understand that? In God's strength. And guys, you heard my story. I love it. We had a photo shoot. It's my wife's idea, obviously. And she dressed me for it. I have no fashion sense. We had a picture. And in a moment of time, you got a dad and a mom and two children because the gates of hell couldn't stand against me saying, come here, what? My wife I love, let's go. I don't get the glory for that. God does. And I don't care what anyone in this room thinks. I'm going to leave here and go hang out with my kids, which I know are a direct product of God strengthening me, putting a stone in that thing, and boom, and Goliath fell. And mighty was that crash. A boy and then a girl, perfectly healthy. It was better than we could have thought. I wanted a boy first. Sorry, I'm a guy. I wanted a boy, and she wanted a girl so she could dress her up and put stuff in her hair. It doesn't work. She pulls them out of her hair. But anyway, any advice would be welcome. So I want you to think. We're going to wrap it up because time just got away from me. Guys, what are your Goliaths? And you can do what everybody else does in this life, and you can sit there and you can tremble. Oh, I got to do one more thing. I'll just tell it. That was scripture. Anybody remember when the Israelites are coming out of Egypt? They're coming out of slavery. So think about it in your life. You're born into a certain situation like mom and dad, and you've done a little better. You've gotten along, right? What happens? God says, okay, here's this land I promised you. So let me draw immediate parallels. Believer in Christ, I've said that I've come to give you life and life abundantly. You will spend the rest of your life to learn what that means. Peace in your home, right? Health for your body. Me to guide you through the storms. I'm not saying life will be trouble-free. I'm saying I'll guide you through them. So that's your promised land. So here we have a story of these Israelites coming out of obviously bad stuff, just like you have, but not quite in the promise. And what happens? This is my point for today. Stay with me, 5 more minutes. They send out 12 spies. Numbers are big. There was also 12 disciples. But anyway, so they get in the land, and well, we've been talking about giants today, and they see literal giants walking around. If you're bored today, go home and Google human, giant human skeletons, and you can actually see that the Smithsonian has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of giant human skeletons. And I don't mean, you know, Shaquille O'Neal. I'm talking 12, 15 feet tall. It's a reality, guys. You don't have to believe it. Just look at it with your eyes. Archaeologists have been finding these for hundreds of years. So they walk into this place, and they see these monstrous people walking around. 10 of them do what most of you are going to do today. And I'm not a fire and brimstone preacher. I'm just telling you the reality. 10 of them said, they're huge. Let's not go in. 2 of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, hey, I remember when we came out of Egypt, and you remember that whole water thing? That was pretty awesome. Where he parted the sea. And you remember that whole pillar of fire thing? Anybody remember that at all? Or how he fed us with, you know? And they said, of course we can take down these giants, y'all. But 10 of them said no. So lots of them lost heart. And they did what so many people in this life do. They sat down. They stopped walking their journey. They stopped walking their path, and they just sat down. I'm not saying they ran off into something evil. They just sat down and didn't grow. 2 of them said, let's do it. God dealt very severely with that. You got to deal with that on your own time. Only 2 of them, the ones that said, Pam, let's do it, they're the only ones who actually made it into the promise. Believer, only by taking those giants in God's strength will you get into that life that God wants for us. Long-term believer, do you agree with what I'm saying here? That I'm not talking about controlling it. I'm talking about be led and directed by God, but don't you stop. And when something seems like an obstacle, you go to God with it. He's got 3 answers for you. Yes, no, or not yet. Those are the only 3 answers God ever gives. Yes, no, or not yet. And you go to him in prayer and decide what he says. For me, the doctor said no, but God said yes. So I went, and I marched forward, guys. I'm not saying I'm awesome at this. There's a lot of areas in my life I'm submitting to God right now. There's giants in my land. And I've cowered for so many years saying, it's just who I am. I'll never change. This is just the circumstance. I'm hot-tempered. I'm broke. I don't communicate well. Whatever you want it to be, there's giants standing there, and I've given into them for so many years. Well, today I'm deciding, piece by piece, I'm taking that ground. I'm getting to that promised land. I don't want to go to heaven with one blessing he had for me unused. With one weapon he had for me ready, unused. Does anybody follow that one? Because he's a good, good father. And I want my kids to use every resource I have for them. I don't want them starving when there's food in my cupboard. Amen? I don't want them needing, oh, I couldn't afford this and I really needed it. Daddy has money and I love you. All you have to do is appropriate it. Use it. Come to me. I will give you what you need. Because I'm a good father and so much less than the Lord our God. We're going to close it down right now. If anybody wants any prayer with this today, it doesn't have to be weird, but Bruce and Brenda and even Steph have volunteered to just pray with anybody. Or you know what? If you're not comfortable with them per se, get with somebody you trust and say, hey, here's my Goliath. I need to conquer this guy. I need to push through. Last week I said something and it was at the end of the message and I rushed it. The cross is the power from us to God and back. The Bible says, confess to God for forgiveness. He'll always forgive us anything we do. Because he's good. It's who he is. You don't have to like it. It's just the way it is. God is faithful and just. But we always forget that, oh, God also put in healing from one to another. He says, confess to God for forgiveness of sins, to one another for healing, for victory over Goliath. Don't stop at this, guys. Don't stop at this. Father, give me strength. Father, help me. Give me practical ways. No, you go to his people. You go to his people as well. So somebody you trust, guys, talk to him about Goliath this week. Don't just sit and tremble for the rest of you. How many more years are we going to sit with this Goliath guy yelling at us? Let's stand up and do it. I've pulled an audible on us, like Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the NFL, and we're going to sing, Lord, I need you, because in order to do this, we need God, right? So today we call out, Lord, I need you. Goliath's there. I need you.
Some of us today could actually say, the chorus of this one is, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Some of us today might actually be able to say this for the first time. And guys, at any moment, you can become one of the called out ones. You can say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Forgive me for the things I've done and lead me to this place that they're talking about. Take away the fear. Help me to conquer my Goliaths. If you're someone today that feels like, you know what, I don't know this person they're talking about, now's your opportunity to just call out and say, Lord, I need you. It's not just any Lord. We're singing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. To you when temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. And Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Make this personal. Let's sing it again.
Lord, I need you. Oh, God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Lord Jesus, we need you. Father, we submit ourselves today to you, Lord God. Please guide us, lead us, and direct us. But Father, give us the strength, Lord, to stand before those giants in our lives. To push forward, Father God, and take the ground that we know you want for us to have. We know that you want good for us because you call yourself Father. And lots of us in here are dads, we're moms, we're grandparents, and we think, what wouldn't I do for these children? But to a degree, sometimes these children have to do for themselves as well. And so, Father, give us the strength and the attitude and the mind to stand in boldness because of what you've put inside of us, because of whom you've put inside of us, Father. And your word teaches us and says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can endure all things through Christ who gives me strength. So as these giants are standing in the land, Father, empower us, Father, by your Holy Spirit. Show us just who we are in you and help us to push forward and no longer live defeated and downtrodden. Not one more day, Father. We thank you, Lord God, and we do trust you and we love you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
All right, everybody, have a great week.